This episode of the Board Game BBQ Podcast is proudly sponsored by Hyper Viper Games. Head to hypervipergames.com, that's Viper with a Y, to find the most affordable, high-quality playmats for your enhanced gaming experience. 3mm thick, stitched edging, multiple sizes and designs. That's hypervipergames.com. Welcome to the Board Game BBQ, possibly the fastest-growing board game community in the world. We are more than just a podcast. Join us on Discord to play games all the time with people from all over the world on platforms like Tabletop Simulator, Tabletopia, Board Game Arena, and any others. Join us in our Facebook community to discuss not only the topics of the week that come up in our podcast, but also the board game bracket and anything board games. But we still are a podcast. Thank you for tuning in and enjoy the show. The Board Game BBQ, brought to you by Addicts, Not Experts. Hello and welcome to the Board Game BBQ Podcast. This is Steve, your usual host. Unfortunately, we had some major technical issues with the last episode we recorded, which is even more unfortunate because we had Adam Kopinski join us for the episode. So unfortunately, we can't bring you the first 45 minutes of that episode because we lost that content due to this technical issue that we had. We are trying our best to retrieve it, but it doesn't look promising at this point. However, we did record another 55 minutes after that, which was still really great content. Not as great as the first 45 minutes, because that's when we spoke to Adam about what he's doing and what he's got coming up, which was amazing. And there's just one little spoiler is that he's working on a Civilization game, which would be amazing. So what we've done is decided to put the episode out with what we have, and we'll endeavor to try and get back that that audio so we can release it at a later date. And if that fails, which looks like at this point is likely, Adam's already agreed to join the podcast another time, and so that we can ask those same questions and get updated answers based on whenever we can do that. So our sincerest apologies, this was totally out of our hands. But without any further ado, though, I will send it to the Sizzling Game. So just a bit of a setup before we do this. Connor and Def are the two hosts on the show, as well as myself, and Adam is there. You won't hear him as much because he's just taking part in the rest of the show as opposed to doing his spiel, but he is there, and he was lovely, and one of the best episodes we've done that unfortunately no one's ever going to hear. All right, without further ado, welcome to the show.
As per usual, our Sizzling Games segment is brought to you by Advent Games. Advent are one of our great sponsors, and this month they're giving away a copy of Viscounts of the West Kingdom to one of our lucky viewers, sending it worldwide. So wherever you live, you'll get a copy of Viscounts for free if you win this. All you need to do to enter is head to the Advent Games website. That's adventgames.com.au. Go to their Coming Soon page, have a look at the games that they've got listed there, and then go to our Facebook community and write in the comments what game you are looking forward to the most off that list. And that's all you've got to do to be in the draw. It will be drawn in about 5 days. So like 3 days, actually. 3 days. So no better time than now to check that out if you haven't already. And who knows, you might be the lucky owner of an amazing Chevin Phillips game. But with that, we'll head into the Sizzling Games. So to start us off, I'm going to go to Connor. Connor, what's been sizzling, mate?
What has been sizzling is actually a little bit of an early release from Starling Games, and that's Flourish by Clarissa and Andrew Wilson and James A. Wilson. So Flourish is a, first of all, it is a totally beautiful game. The artwork is incredible. It's based around players building a garden where they score points. But the basic premise is it's a set collecting game, and you score over a number of rounds. So what happens is you play three cards, and then you score at the end of the round, and then you continue on until you have played, I think, 12 cards in total, so 4 rounds. And then you score them, and obviously at the end of the game, you have end of game scorings. So, look, it is a lot of fun, really straightforward, but with some hidden depth. I guess what makes this different, though, is there's a bit of drafting as well as the set collecting. So what you do is in your turn, you'll play one card, and then you'll pass a card to each of your neighbors. So what this then does is then you can give cars to your neighbors, which will then help you score for your garden. And look, it cannot be said how beautiful this card art is. It is so, so lovely. And it just helps you buy into the fact that you're building this beautiful garden and creating this beautiful garden. You know, it's got the flowers and the beehives and the paths. It just looks so stunning when it's on the table. And it's a lot of fun and really, really simple to play, but with a lot of hidden depth. So it's heaps and heaps of fun. And what's great too is they add different modules that you can play with it as well. So I've got the Signature Edition, which I believe is the one that's going to be on mass market. I'm not 100% sure. But what happens then is it comes with these two sort of mini expansions called the Friends and Follies. So the Friends are these basic victory point cards at the end, where if you have a certain number of a particular flower or a particular feature, then you'll score some bonus points. So, for example, this is a good one. If you have at least 5 lawns in your garden, the dog will score you 5 extra victory points because the dog loves to run around and, I guess, you know, sort of like a headless chook. And then you've got the bees, which obviously want to have beehives. Some birds will have particular flowers that they want. The frog wants, I think, mushrooms and like green ivy, because I guess that's sort of, you know, mushrooms sort of, you know, they need like moisture and stuff to grow. But then there's a really great mini expansion called the Follies. And the Follies are these really incredible cardboard buildings that you have to build, and they took me a lot of time to build, and I am not necessarily the most delicate individual, so you could probably imagine me with my big hands trying to smoosh these cardboard buildings together. It did take a little while, but it's very rewarding. So what you use the Follies for is the Follies match one of the 5 types of flowers, and where you place your Folly, you will score points based on if it's adjacent to other flowers of the same type. So it turns it into a tableau building game where you want your cars to be in specific positions. But the great thing about this is that you can play competitively, you can play cooperatively, you can play with a variant that lasts over 3 games, and you have like the grand winner of 3 games, and you can helps you earn medals and things like that. It is a lot of fun, really, really straightforward, but lots and lots of hidden depth as well. And I can't wait to play again. I can't wait to introduce to more people. We've only played it with 2 at the time for the time being, but I can imagine playing it with, because it's 1 to 6, I believe. So I can imagine playing it with sort of, you know, 3 or 4 more people where you're passing cards around. And then what happens is that you might pass a card and then eventually get to back around to you in the same way like it does in 7 Wonders or Blood Rage, where you go, oh man, I can't believe this card got back around to me. It's such a good card.
Yeah,
or the other way, it's, ah, crap, I can't believe this card came back to me. It's such a piece of garbage. What am I going to do with it? So yeah, a lot of fun, and I think it's going to be one of those sort of sleeper hits when it comes out and hits the mass market. But that's Flourish by Starling Games.
Yeah, very nice. I have seen the box cover, like not in person, but it is quite eye catching for sure.
Oh, so yeah,
it's good to know that is throughout the whole game, not just on the box.
No, the box is so inviting because it's got this little gate that opens up to let you come into the garden. But, you know, I can't remember what other game we're talking about, probably like an Everdell or something like that, which doesn't have the same artist, but it's by Starling Games as well, where you look at the cards and they're like, hello, like it's your turn, like come on. You're like, oh yeah, right, because you're too busy like looking at the cards to actually play your turn. But yeah, I think it's going to be quite popular when it does come out, and I know a lot of people were very excited for this to hit their table when it does.
Well, I might actually jump on the back of you there, Connor, and do my sizzle next, because it shares a couple of common themes. It's firstly, it hasn't yet been released, and secondly, it's somewhat about nature. It's Umbravia by Pandasaurus Games. So I'm not sure if you've seen this one, but it's this abstract game that is really cool. It's not very difficult, and it's a double bidding mechanism that really sets it apart. So what you do is you've got this grid. It's like a, I think it's a 5x5 or maybe a 4x4 grid. And you've got these four tile pieces that go onto the grid, and you are bidding for which tile you want to control where it goes on that grid. So you draw out of your bag three flowers. There's two different colored flowers in there. There's a prominent colored blue, for example, if you're using the blue, and then a lighter blue. And if you're using yellow, there's a prominent yellow and a lighter yellow. And the lighter ones are these are called soul flowers. And what you do is, let's say you pull out one soul flower and two normal flowers. The soul flower is worth two, and the other ones are worth one. So then you take those three, and behind a little screen, you place them in position one, two, three, or four, which correlates to the pieces one, two, three, and four that are up for bid. And then everyone reveals, and then you put your flowers on the tiles that you voted for. And then you have a look at where what everyone has voted for, and you can see who's winning in each space and whatever else. And then you go back to your screens and you repeat that process a second time. So it allows you to see where you're placed. You might also go, oh, wow, no one's going for spot four. Well, I'm going to hit spot four hard because that means I'll control it. And once you reveal again, you put your flowers out again. You then start with the flower with the tile with the least amount of flowers on it. Whoever has the most of their color on that flower gets to place that on the board. And they're just these little tracks. There's like a path that you're creating. And it will score once that path is shut off. So there's no possibility for growth on along that path. And in some instances, you might really want to shut off a path real quick because you're leading and you'll get the victory token, which it's not really a victory token. What it is you get to take off this little supply an extra soul flower for every tile that was in that run that you've just closed off. So you might be able to put three soul flowers back in your bag, and once you've run out of soul flowers, you need to get two more, and then you win the game. So you want to be winning these tracks, but what happened in one of the games I played is I had this huge long track that everyone was fighting over, and it became a situation where you'd go like, I want to close that off because I'm winning now, so I'm going to bid heavy on this one tile. But then someone else who's not winning it bids lightly on another tile and makes it so that it's going to continue to grow and you can't stop them because you're going later. It's too late for you to stop it now. So, and you don't want to because they've taken over. So it's such a cool way to do it. It's this excellent little bidding system that just makes it such a thinky game. And for what essentially is a little grid, it's got a small footprint. This game is definitely not an Adam Kopinski Awakened Realms game, that's for sure. not that there's anything wrong with that, but it's just a neat mechanism mixed with this theme that is there. It's nothing. You could be doing other things, but the other little wrinkle in the game that I quite liked was that the soul flowers, while their value is two in the bidding phase, once you've won the bid or once you've taken place, the bid's taken place, all of the soul flowers actually get removed from the tiles before they're placed. So they don't actually count in whether you win that track or not. So they're good. They're good on one hand because they help you win a bid, but then they're totally useless after that point. So in another simple example, let's say the four of us are playing and you guys all put one flower down on a tile and I put my one soul flower down. I'll win that tile, but then it's useless to me because I'm just giving you guys points. Mm-hmm. I'm not on that tile. And so it really, it's such a great little planning game. I played the two-player variant as well where you also throw in like a random color into each other's bag, and if you pull those out, then you're also placing them. And we had this situation where the two of us were very, it was a very hotly contested track. And then we both realized at the same time that the third fake made-up player was actually winning. So we were like, oh, this is not going as we planned. So, yeah, it's coming soon. I think it's coming at the end of March maybe or April. But it's there as a contender to games like Calico, Azul, those sort of really thinky, abstract games. But this one, that double bidding system is just a little bit different. So, yeah, that's Umbravia from Pandasaurus.
I looked that up because I'd heard a lot about it, but I hadn't really looked at it in much depth. This looks really cool. Like, looks like a lot of fun. And a game that I think you could play with just about anyone because the theme, as you said, it's like there, but it's not super prominent. So people are like, I don't want to play a game about flowers. It's like, yeah, but it's not really about flowers. Not the same way that like a flourish is. Yeah. So yeah, this looks really, really cool. I'd be really interested to give this one a go.
Yeah, no, it's I was pleasantly surprised, there's no doubt. But we've now I've got a feeling the lovely nature flowery theme might finish there, because we'll go over to Def. And what have you been playing, mate?
Well, I've been shooting aliens, so yeah, a little
hang on,
bit different.
Hang on, we've talked about Nemesis enough, I think. Like, no,
So I've been playing Under Falling Skies, a game from CGE Games that was released recently. It's a solo game. There was a print and play version that was around last year. Got everybody, you know, excited. It was pretty good, and so CGE decided to make a proper cardboard game, and it's been really good fun because they've packed a lot of gameplay into a very small box. So you've got essentially a mothership that descends towards your city, and it sends these little alien crafts that, you know, descend towards your city. And what you do is you have an underground base, and you roll some dice and you use them as workers, and you have to place one die in each column. And there's different rooms. One generates power, another one generates science by spending power, another one shoots alien planes out of the sky. But every time, and usually when you place the dice, the bigger the value on the die, the greater the result you get is. You get more energy, or you get to shoot, you know, more planes out of the sky. But at the same time, as soon as you place a die in a column, all the alien crafts in that column will descend towards your city that many spaces. So it creates this nice puzzle of how you manipulate the dice rolls to benefit you more than what they hurt you, because they benefit you and hurt you at the same time. And it has this clever mechanism of you know, interconnected tiles that, to increase the difficulty, and different cities that have some additional little options or benefits when you play with them. And I haven't even got to the campaign yet. It has this campaign that introduces new elements to the game through a comic book narrative that they've got in there. So I've been really, really impressed with this. It plays within, you know, 20 minutes, maybe 25 or 20, 30 minutes. And I've been having great fun. So, you know, probably that's probably what a Space Invaders board game would look like, maybe, but maybe I'm oversimplifying it. But very, very clever design. I've been having lots of fun with it. Under Falling Skies by CGE Games.
Yeah, this one looks really good. I think Mitch might have spoken about it a few weeks ago too, and I've actually got a copy on my shelf that I haven't gotten off yet, so I might have to fix that.
What are you doing then? Like, seriously?
Actually, you spoke about it too, Connor, didn't you?
I think I spoke about it more than Mitch did.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, I need to fix this.
I got in trouble. I was like, hey, it's not your sizzling game. Let Mitch talk about it. Yeah, no, I love this game. It's so good. I haven't started the campaign yet either, Def, but I just can't. Who was I speaking to the other day? Sorry, I can't remember. It was one of our community members, and I just said, "It's. I know it's a good game when I force myself to have to put it away to play other games. That's when I know it's a good game, and it sort of burns me. Yeah. Do you find that, Adam? Like, you just want to keep playing it, but you can't because you've got to do other things.
Yeah, I have that problem with Feast of Odin sometimes. I look at my watch and it was 5 a.m. and I think, okay, maybe once more. know that feeling, especially when you have to go to sleep and don't play another game that lasts about 2 hours. But yeah.
Good 2 hours, though. Good 2 hours.
That's true.
All right. Well, we might stay with you, Adam. Have you got a game that you've been playing lately that is worth a mention on our Sizzling Games?
Yeah, you know, it will be quite a light game, and I was mentioning it before because it's Flick of Fate from Awakened Realms, but light, and this is really really fast and quite a small game where you are flicking. Yeah, every player get his role. We play as a god and flicking our followers over the board, which itself is quite a nice metaphor of how can we see gods in mythologies. And the game is very, very simple, but very clever in the same time, because it's connecting flicking mechanism with something like territory control. And I think it's very fresh, because we don't have a lot of flicking games after Peach Car that was very successful. And I love Peach Car truly, but here is of course not a race. We are competing over the four islands. Each player have his own corner of the map, and we are trying putting our followers on the different islands to get domination there and get some points at the end of the round. Of course, we can flick our follower into other follower and do some bouncing stuff on the board. We can make if we play for a while and we learn how to flick, we can do some really tricky moves by putting our followers one follower in one place and the second one in the other. It can be even like a very small version of pool sometimes. but yeah, this is the main idea, and over this we have also different powers and really different powers, because for example some god can get one bigger follower, and in this game it matters, because it's hard to push him out, and when he entered the board, he can push everybody out of their island. We also have some cities or temples, so we put a bigger wooden piece on an island if we hit the perfect spot on that island, and this piece stays there through the game. Of course, somebody can try to push it out, but it's really really heavy, so it's not very very easy. So yeah, there is a lot going on. I like this game because it I think lots of different people can play it and can have fun from it. I play it with my nephew, and I also play it with my mother, and we all have lots of fun. There are also some laws in the game that are randomly generated each round. You draw two laws, and people just vote for one of them using their thumb, and those laws change everything, because, for example, you have to flick with your eyes closed. And as you can imagine, it's not very easy. So I think the only flaw of this game is that you can you know, lost your pieces, because sometimes it's they are going all over the place, and you find them weeks later after you play that.
When you have to vacuum up.
yeah, exactly. So great game, something quite fresh, and I enjoyed.
Just looking at some of the images now, and it's got that Awakened Realms quality to it for sure. It's looks like a lovely game. And
That's true. Yeah. They have a great playmat, because they there is a playmat in that game, and it's very, very high quality. They keep the same level of quality they try to get with bigger games. So.
Also, the chips, though, look at them going, surely your finger's going to hurt after a while flicking those around.
Especially those big ones, those big chunky boys like that.
Oh, very cool. So, Flick of Faith. All right. Well, I'm not quite sure if this is. Has anyone seen this in Australia yet?
I haven't seen it in any shops yet. No.
I wonder whether it's because it says. Is this a retail something that's in retail, Adam? Because it just says on
it was 2019. Yeah, it was only retail game. It wasn't on Kickstarter, and it sells quite well, I think. So. There are different languages for this game, and don't know how many copies they have sold, but I think it's 10 of thousands. So it should be quite easy to find. And there will be some expansion, so probably they will also do some new print of the base game.
Well, just for those Australians listening, I have had a look, and it doesn't appear as though any Australian retailers have this yet. So we'll make sure you ring your FLGS tomorrow and hassle them so they can try and get something. All right. So that will do us for our sizzling segment. Just a quick reminder to enter in our competition. This may be the last podcast before we announce the winner. So your last chance to do that, thanks to Advent Games. But from there, we'll move on to swearing an oath. Okay, swear an oath time. Now, I'm going to jump in and go first here, because I've played a game that is quite well regarded, and I wanted to talk about it. So on the weekend just passed, I had a friend of mine who asked me if I wanted to be part of a group to play through The King's Dilemma. And I don't know if I've ever said yes quicker. I was very keen to try this one out. There's been a lot of good things talked about this game, and it's not necessarily an easy game to get your hands on in Australia. So I jumped at the chance. And as it turned out, we ended up having the meetup at my house. So that was Sunday or Saturday. I can't remember now. But anyway, one of the weekend's days. And we played three rounds of The King's Dilemma. And basically, for those who aren't aware, this game is essentially a voting negotiation game. So someone reads out a dilemma. Everyone has these amount of their shields. I can't remember what their actual name is, but they're little shields. And you can vote with how many of those you want to either yay, nay, or you can pass if you wish and not take part at all. And the yays will have it the ayes will have it if more of those are out there than the nays. Pretty straightforward stuff. But because it's not just a one person voting, if there's five people at the table, someone will win 3-2. Because you have an indeterminate amount of these shields, there is a lot of negotiation that goes on and a lot of bargaining with people. Like, I'll give you a couple of dollars if you vote this way, or I'll give you a couple of dollars to pass. So however it works. There's also a couple of other things at play here as well. So the person who bids the most on the winning bid becomes the controller. They've got a proper name, but I'll call them the controller for now. And that means that they will go first on the next bid. So they'll be able to set the tone for how the next setup goes. So that was really cool how that interplays with the voting itself. The dilemmas, the best comparison I can make from the dilemmas is that if anyone's played Gloomhaven, it's like the road and city events from Gloomhaven. where something happens, you need to discuss as a group which way you want to go, and then you vote on which way you should go. And then the story will continue in that vein. So there is a very cool element here that we're three games in, and I'm starting to think, gee, I wonder what would have happened if we didn't go after this thing, if we decided not to do that. Where else would we be in this story? But with all that being said, I got to say, I didn't love it. I enjoyed my time. I think the group made it better than the game itself. My issue is that it didn't really feel like a game. It felt like those two elements. It felt like you've got the Road and City events from Gloomhaven and like a similar voting system to the agenda phase in Twilight Imperium 4th edition. Mm. And they put those two things together. But the difference is the reason that the agenda phase is my favorite part of Twilight Imperium is because what you're voting on has a significant impact on the game, and it will change the mechanics for the rest of the game. Where this, it's like a choose your own adventure book where you just go, we're going to go in this direction. And I love choose your own adventure books, but it kind of reminded me about when I was a kid, how I used to read them, which was I didn't read them. I just got to the end of the page and went, I wonder what happens if I go this way. I wonder what happens if I go that way. And it kind of had that feeling like, yes, we created this story. And of course, we're three in and there's like 25. So I may change my opinion as this game goes on. But for now, I was a little bit underwhelmed. I expected a little bit more game there. Yeah, and you get victory points depending on where things end up on the board. But that seemed to be, while that was happening, the big part of this game was that negotiation and was that voting on which way to go and what to do. I'm winning, so I should be happy. I've won one game outright and tied for first in both of the other games. But for me, you get a character who's like a leader of your people, and they come with this cool story, and I'm like, right, I'm just going to go full on story here. I'm gonna respond as if I was this person, and my people were like worker people, so they were all about the government takes too much tax, and there's not enough time in the day because we're too busy working. So I'm like, every decision I'm going to be making is about how to get cheap labor and screw the government, basically. But on our first mission, we went away from the city, so my story kind of got a bit strange because I'm off on this expedition and I'm not at home mining for coal or something. So I don't know. Maybe I just felt a bit detached because it didn't suit my character. But yeah, I see its appeal, and I hope that I've still agreed to do another day. So like, it's not like wasn't good enough to continue on. But yeah, I feel like it was less a game and more of an experience, I guess. So yeah.
Yeah, and these types of, I guess, sprawling or branching story games, and we know there's heaps of them out there. Like, and we could name them all day, but I guess the important thing between that is that if the story is so, the gameplay has to be really, really good. And it sounds like to me that the gameplay just fell a bit flat for you. Is that sort of where you're at too? Because there is enough gameplay to go, oh, well, I don't mind where the story goes, because a lot of the time that's what happens to me, is that if the story is okay, I don't mind because I like playing the mission or the interplay between that, whereas it sounds like there's not much of a game there.
That's right, yeah. I just expected something more. I don't know what that was, but you would assume in the King's Dilemma, the dilemmas are happening so regularly. You go through five or six, I think it's, up to 9 or 10 you can have in a round. But that is literally all you are doing. There is no other step in this game. It's read a dilemma, resolve a dilemma, read a dilemma, resolve a dilemma, and repeat. Mm. It was a bit strange. But I will say one thing, and the advantage of being either equal first or first is that you get to rename the new king for the next, because it kind of plays over a generation of a king. So you get to rename the king. And I was quite proud of my last effort. So the king for the next game will be called King Dom Death Monster. But yeah, anyway, that was my oath. So it'll be a bit of a wait and see, like I said. I'll probably talk about it again once we've finished the campaign, or at least we've gotten far enough that we will no longer go any further. But yeah, at this stage, I'm a bit so-so. But what I'm not so-so on is the oath I'm going to continue to do, and that is to finish Pandemic Legacy Season 1, which I am only a month out from doing.
So, oh, baby.
Almost. Oh,
yeah. Yeah, so I expect that to happen within the next 24 to 48 hours. So I'm going to say it. I'm going to say that I swear by the next episode to have finished Pandemic Legacy Season 1.
And then you guys can do your spoiler cast. That'd be cool.
It's partially the reason why I wanted to get back into it so much.
The FOMO is debilitating. Yeah,
very good. All right, with that, I'm going to fly to death, mate. How'd you go with your sizzle?
My sizzle, we already did. If you mean my oath, then
your oath, yes.
I've actually done it. I've played, it was a game called Watergate.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And it's a deduction game exclusively for two players. One player takes the part of the Nixon administration, and the other player acts as the editor that is trying to uncover the scandal. And it's a very simple game, but it's great fun. And the way it works is there's three elements that you fight over. One is the initiative, which means who plays first each round. And that sometimes has massive impact to the game because, first of all, whoever plays first plays five cards, five actions, and the second person plays only four. The second part you fight for is I can't remember what it's called now, not an initiative, it's a dominance or a momentum tokens. So these are tokens that if the Nixon administration gets five of, the game ends immediately in favor of that player. And the third bit is the evidence tokens, which the editor tries to put on an evidence board, like, you know, a police blueprint, to connect two informants with the president. If the editor manages to do that, then he wins the game. But it's really interesting how they've implemented this. There is this track that everything starts in the center, in the space zero in each round, and then you play cards and you draw these tiles, these tokens, to your side some spaces each time, and you have to select which one you will do every time, and there's different cards that do different things. And then at the end of the round, all the tokens that are on your side of the board, you win and you get to do something with them, place them or put them on your card and whatnot. And this creates a very interesting, tug of war situation between the players where you have to make some choices around what you want to get out of this round and what you're willing to let go, because you cannot possibly get everything. So you have to let something go and focus on something else. It's a very nice different game for us. We don't usually play these kinds of games, but we've enjoyed it. It doesn't last long, maybe 30 to 35 minutes. So that was Watergate. We really enjoyed it.
Fair enough. Yeah, I've heard really good things. It's only came out last year, is that right?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, last year or maybe late
2019.
Yeah. But it's one of those games where you go, well, two players, how much can we get out of it? But I've heard it's just because of the push and pull and the tension, it's just a winner. I just hear how great it is.
Well, what's next, Def?
So next, I'm gonna do a trick one here because my oath is gonna be to play Zia Legends of Adrift System, which I've already played, but I've played a three-handed solo, which I would recommend to only my worst enemy. It gave me a headache that lasted 2 days. It is impossible to do that. I just did it because I felt a bit overwhelmed by the rules. But in fact, the rule book may be very, very long, but it's just very chatty. It likes to explain things, you know, in a really long way. It doesn't have to. The rules are pretty simple. And then I played it solo, the way it's meant to be played with the expansion, and I got completely smashed. And at the end of that game, I discovered I was playing with the wrong rule, where I was just spawning the enemy ships from the start of the game, where you only spawn them when their sectors come up. So they've been chasing me since round one, and I had zero chance of doing anything in that game. So my oath is to finally be able to play to play this game properly and see if I enjoy it. You have it.
I'd be very keen to play with this with you one day, Def. I had the opportunity to play it, and I was in a similar situation to you. A friend of mine, and it is the most random board game collection you have ever seen, but I had friends back in Cloncurry where I used to live who owned two board games. Anyone want to have a guess what those two board games were?
The Game of Life and Zaya.
Zaya, Legends of Idris System, and Cthulhu Wars.
What?
Nice.
So they loaned me, I played Cthulhu Wars, and then they loaned me Zaya, but I couldn't get, because I think it is a 3 to 5 player game, is that right?
Yes.
Yeah, so I couldn't get people to the table for it because it is quite expansive and large, and I wasn't particularly comfortable teaching it. So I never really got to, I was in a similar situation. I learned how to play it, and I went through a few like scenarios of what would happen, and then I put it back in the box. And so I've never actually played the game. So I'd be interested one day. If you get it, Def, if you've got it and you know we're together at some point, I'd love to have a game with you.
I'm sure that will happen.
Adam, would you like to join in this madness and swear to play something? It doesn't necessarily have to be off a shelf of shame, but if it is,
yeah,
then that's great.
It will be because, you know, I get Etherfields a couple of weeks ago. This is probably the only one game from Awakened Realms I didn't play at the prototype stage. I see some drafts from Michael Odach when he started creating it, but truly I don't know anything about this game. That is, not the whole idea that is about dreams and about weird stuff that can happen there. But I want to play it because Michał Odacz is one of the greatest designer in Poland and in world, I think. And he is one of the designer I don't have idea how he works, because he can create so different stuff, so different games. When I saw first time This War of Mine, it was lots of very new, very fresh mechanism that was put into the board game. And now when we are talking about Etherfields, I very excited to see what new ideas he brings on the table, because I suppose there will be some mechanisms, some concepts that I didn't see ever in any other games, because this is Michał Orach, and he can make very nice and very weird things in the same time. So I'm, I feel that excitement, because I feel like I'm going to discover something really new. I don't know if the game will be in my style, because mostly I'm not a solo gamer, and I want to, and not cooperative gamer as all. I want to play it solo, and I'm very curious what I can find in this box.
Well, that's pretty awesome, because you're in for a huge journey or surprise, depending which way you look at it. I've played Etherfields more than 45 times already.
Okay.
And I cannot believe how immersive and thematic they've made it, and so many different and fresh ideas. It's very... It has some problems in how the mechanisms work, but they do not matter in the end. The game is so enjoyable and so unique in a lot of ways. I've been loving it. So yeah. I'm very interested to see what you think after you've played it.
Yeah, this is what I really want to hear. So I'm. Now I'm even more excited because, I suppose a game like this can have some problems, because when you create something out of a box, it probably will generate new problems. That's normal things. But still, the way Michał can brings all new fresh things into the board games is amazing. And if you said that I can find some really cool, really new ideas, that's enough for me to play that game and have fun.
Nice one. So how are we going to hold you to this, Adam? Are we going to take some photos and put them up on Twitter or Instagram or something?
You know, I'm not the guy with very good with social media. I'm post once or twice a year, and that's all. only on Facebook. I have Twitter, but only to read other people's stuff. So, I will probably. Yeah, or I will send you some email.
That'd be
or
awesome.
This can happen because I as I said, I'm and I think I'm not the guy who should take photos, no matter on which side of camera I will be. So.
Come on.
All right. Well, the other option is, of course, just to come back on the show. That's true. There's always that. So.
Yeah,
always. All right. Well, there's one person left. Connor, you've got an interesting one.
I do have an interesting one. So, yes, well, it's started. Let's just put it that way. It started. So my oath is to play through Pandemic Legacy Season 0. So obviously this is a bit of a weird one because we can't talk about it too much without spoiling it, but there's a couple of really cool differences in this one, in that first of all, it's set way back in the 60s, so like during the Cold War, and you play as a medical student who's been drafted to be a spy. And then you find that out as soon as you open up the book. So there's no spoilers in that. But there's a few differences. For example, instead of making labs, you make teams and safe houses. And instead of the threat level is for the threat of the Soviets as opposed to the threat of the disease itself. Suppose as you go on, you'll find out where the disease from Pandemic Season 1, and then obviously the one that affects Season 2 as well, is from. So that it's going to be really, really interesting. And I actually haven't played Pandemic Season 1, so I'll be one of the first people, I think, to play through in the chronological order, which will be pretty cool. But yeah, it's you've got some cool things. You get a passport, which is pretty nifty. Then there's some cool little interactions with your passport. You get to make like an avatar to make a disguise and stuff like that. So, yeah, really looking forward to it. So, play through the prologue. Got absolutely smashed, but I think we'll just get straight into it anyway because the mechanics are sort of, I guess, reskin from Pandemic. So, really looking forward to getting that. I'll give updates for what I can, but obviously I'll kind of do what you did, Steve, and say, you know, we're in month this and month that and maybe give some broad updates rather than anything specific. But I did also say that I would not rest on my laurels. And while Pandemic Legacy Season 0 is ongoing in my life, I will also each time add another oath. And I've decided to go about things a little bit differently in the house. So I live with my partner, Hannah, and I have made a decision that from now on, she is the one who's going to be picking my oaths because, as much as I love playing by myself, I also want to play more games with her. So, the oath, at least for the near future, is going to be picked by her. And Hannah has picked awkward guests to be my next oath. So that's it's a two-player game where you solve a murder mystery, and it's got this really cool deck system where you pick particular cards and it gives you a whole range of different scenarios that could come from this. Steve, am I right? Have you played this?
Oh yeah, I love
yeah,
it.
Yeah, it's cool. Great. Yeah, so I'll be interested to swap case notes with you. Later on down the track. But I, Connor Devine, swear next time on the show I will have played through Awkward Guests at least once, if not more.
I have a funny story about Awkward Guests. I don't know if you've seen how the cards work, Connor, but they're in stacks of 50.
So yes.
There's 300 cards, I think, or it might be 267 or some random number, but anyway. And you choose your deck out of a certain, predetermined list. Anyway, we were playing this one game and I was going through the list. I always read the numbers out and everyone's got a deck each and they'll pull out the cards as I read out the numbers. And as I'm reading through this, something has distracted me and I've stopped and I've come back and I've kept reading. And then we played the game and I'm like, I've got it. I've solved it. Mm-hmm. So I've thrown my thing in and said, I've solved it. I've looked at it. I'm like, I have everything wrong. How is that even possible? And then I'm like, oh, okay, fine, whatever. I'm out of the game. So then the next person put in, and they had two out of the three things right. And then I've looked at theirs. I'm like, but how did you have that? Because of this. And then what I realized what I did is when I got distracted, I jumped lists.
Oh. So you went half and half.
It doesn't work in this game. No, it's a great. I hope you like it. If you've ever enjoyed Cluedo,
yep,
you'll love it.
Nah, that's great.
And if you're like me and I never really liked Cluedo, I really like this because this is to me what this is a real deduction game. So yeah, I hope you like it.
Yeah, should be good. Looking forward to it.
All right. Well, that will conclude the oaths. And just before we finish on the oaths, though, it is important to mention that 2D6 Games sponsor the oath segment, and 2D6 are a board game online provider who are up in Brisbane in Queensland. But don't let that stop you. If you're anywhere in Australia, you'll get free shipping wherever you are at. Free shipping Australia-wide with them, which is pretty awesome. But what's more awesome is if you are lucky enough to live in Brisbane, they will actually come out and deliver the game to your door themselves, which is an experience like no other, just to be able to have a chat with them. And they're all about community and getting game days up and actually helping us with our game day in Brisbane next month. So 2d6games.com.au, check them out, and maybe they are selling your next Oath game. But with that, we'll finish off the O's and we'll also finish off the show. So before we go, just wanted to say a huge thank you for Adam for joining us. Thank you very much.
Thanks for inviting. It was a pleasure really to talk with you guys. I know some new games I want to play now after the two last segments. So yeah, I will have to do some research.
That's what we like. That's what we're good for. We're good for spending money, not for making it. So,
this is the revenge, I know.
Yeah,
revenge for the hashtag Nemesis Packer Wallet.
That's right. We did have a hashtag going. Def, after we finished, Adam, just stay in a line so Def can send you his address for that commission check.
Commission.
That you need to send him. No, but honestly, it's a massive pleasure to have you on. So thank you so much. And also thanks to Def and Connor.
No, thank you, Steve. Thanks, Def. Pleasure, Adam.
Thank you, guys. That was really good. And thank you, Adam, for coming to the show. I really enjoyed our chat.
Yeah, no problem. And hope we will hear each other someday again. So
that would be awesome.
For sure. So we'll leave it there and we'll say catch you on the next episode. Cheers. Thank you for listening to the Board Game Barbecue. This episode, number 80, was recorded on February 24th, 2021 and went live on February 25th, 2021. Tonight's hosts were Steve, Def and Connor with special guest Adam Kwiatkowski. As always, we'd like to thank our sponsors, Hyper Viper Games, 2D6 Games and Advent Games, and all of our patrons. Thank you for your support. Don't forget to enter into our giveaway by going to Advent Games Coming Soon section of their website and then finding our post in the Board Game Barbecue community to comment on that post about your most anticipated game from the Advents page. If you would like to find out more about the Board Game Barbecue, head to our website, www.boardgamebarbecue.com, the Board Game Barbecue community on Facebook, our Discord channel, or you can follow us on Twitter or Instagram at the handle @BoardGameBarbecue. Subscribe to our YouTube channel as well for more reviews and unboxings and more content moving forward. We record 2 episodes every week, which releases on a Monday and Thursday morning Australia time. But if that isn't enough barbecue, becoming a patron gets you even more Board Game Barbecue content as well as many other perks, and you'll help our show continue to grow. If you would like to become a patron, head to the link in the show notes or to patreon.com and search for Board Game Barbecue. Just to mention that we are sold out of our Brisbane event that's coming up. So we've completely sold out for that event. However, there are plenty of plans in the pipeline for not only another event in Brisbane, but also our inaugural events in both Sydney and Melbourne, which should be happening in the next few months. So keep your ears and eyes peeled for that. But finally, thank you for listening, and here's hoping your next game is a sizzling one. Cheers.